And I've been doing some research. And I found this book by Howard Hendricks. I think some of you might know of him. It's called Color Outside the Lines. You may have read it. And on page 136, he lists 109 critical issues that none of the churches talk about that cause people to leave the church. And let me tell you, divorce isn't on there.
Is paint color one?
What?
Is paint color one? Paint color.
No. Well, that's I haven't looked for that. But abortion isn't on here either. And my guess is you see that there's a lot more issues that people here have other than what they wrote here, because these are the causes they left the church. And you see what he says in the book is, we're not teaching you about those issues that you wrote. We're not doing it in the church. So yours truly will now have a list of topics that I will use as a platform for your Wednesday night programs. So, because I intend to try to get to things that bug you, that really are important to you and are concerns to you. Because we don't want to lose you. So, okay, enough of that. Let's go to the prayer requests.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for what he did. Well, God expects you to use your talents for Him. If your talents are evil, don't be surprised if He doesn't use it. Doesn't use your talents. Don't be surprised. If you're good and your talents are good, but you're indifferent to God, don't be surprised if God uses your talents. Uses your talents for Him and His work. And if you're really trying to do His will, then don't be surprised if He uses your talents. But sometimes people are just bad. Not necessarily evil, but just plain old bad. Old H.H., I've told this story before a little bit, a little different twist up this time. H.H. was a red-headed little boy when the airplanes first started flying into the camp meetings and the fairs, county fairs. When one of the airplanes, in fact, the first airplane to fly into Oklahoma at all, crashed and landed at the fair outside where he was living, and he was there at the fair as a boy and as a young man, then he took the parts of that plane, put them all back together, and flew that airplane. H.H. Kind of liked the carnival. Took off and left his family, and not too much is known about his family, apparently, but he went with the carnival. And he learned a language that's just different. Every other word was a swear word, and he was the very best at it. If there was any championship for swear words, he certainly was good. Somewhere along the line, he met a beautiful red-headed lady who was very, very sophisticated in the state of Texas and married her. And raised a couple of three boys, had a couple of three boys, and by the time the boys were graduated from high school, old H.H. had left Mama. He'd had his fill of her sophistication, and he was not sophisticated at all. Took up with another woman, fathered another boy, never married. Sometimes went to church, went to our church, not often. Not much attention or belief in his part, I don't think. And at his funeral, where the pastor knew him very well, because his boys went to this church, the pastor got up in the pulpit, and I wondered, what in the world is he going to say about this man? And what he said is, old H.H. was no paragon of virtue. I don't know whether he really had ever accepted Christ or not, and I don't think the family really knows too well whether he ever did. And I'm not sure they talked to him too much about it, because every other word he said was a swear word. But one thing he was himself. He was who he was, and there wasn't much change in him. One of the biggest problems that we have in our country is learning to be ourselves, be our own man, and being willing to make the changes in our ways that we need to make. And he was having troubles with that. Well, sometimes I just want to be bad. Sometimes I just want to be bad. Chuck Gensinger was made a debate coach at Kansas State University in 1954. His first year, he'd been a national champion debater from Purdue University and was hired by K-State to be the coach. And his first year, he is teaching there. What he did was he went through all the applications and he picked out all the pretty girls for his class. And the boys that had been debaters in high school for his class, so that he had all the ones that he wanted in his class. And the assistant coach, who was a woman and didn't probably really care whether the students were boys or girls, got the dregs of what he didn't choose. But anyway, a beautiful girl came to the class with the first class, and the assignment was to talk about yourself. And her topic was, sometimes I just want to be bad. Well, all the boys in the class, or most of the boys, I guess, thought about, well, I'd like to be bad with her. But that was because they didn't listen to what she had to say. What she said was, is sometimes I don't want to get dressed up and go to church. Sometimes I just want to skip class. Sometimes I want to go to a movie instead of studying. Sometimes I want to go to sleep and not get up. Sometimes I just want to be bad. Sometimes I don't want to be fake, just to be cordial to my family's friends. Sometimes I don't want to dress like everyone else. Sometimes things I want to take off work and go with my friends instead of going to work. Sometimes I don't want to be studying. I want to go to a movie. Just because the culture requires that we do certain things, sometimes you don't want to do them. That's us. That's us. Sometimes we don't want to follow the law of the speed limit. In fact, we don't. Sometimes we turn the corner too sharp. don't follow the law. Sometimes we don't want to do what God says. Sometimes we don't want to do what the church does. As chairman of a committee at Lake Country Bible, Bridgewood Park United Methodist Church, as chairman of the committee, I was asked to choose somebody to do the summer program for the students, the Vacation Bible Camp, they called it. And I searched because the same person had been doing it the same way over and over and over and over for the times that we had been there. And most of the women really didn't like her leadership. So the pastor asked me to find a new woman for the leader. So I found a high school teacher who was into French and Spanish and into art, and oh my, she was a student, if there ever was one, and she was willing to do some things, maybe teach a little French or a little Spanish to the kids. She was willing to do this artwork, and she was busy making, for some of the things that she was doing on the outside, she was busy making life-size mache paper dolls of Donald Duck, Porky, the pig, and on and on. And she was willing to start working with the kids on this and doing that. She was encouraging me to get her, let her do a play so that they could put on a play after the kids wrote. I took all that to the pastor. And he was okay with all that, but you see, he said no. No, no, no. You see, we've always done it in June, and she wanted to do it after her vacation in July. I was kind of upset, and I think I was not real nice to the pastor, and I think I said, okay, let always done it that way, do it. And I think his wife ended up doing it. I don't feel really good about that, but anyway. Let always do it that way, do it. Howard Hendricks wrote this book and even agreed that sometimes we just need to be bad. Sometimes the standard we call the normal is things that we maybe ought to do another way. If you continue doing what you are doing, you will get more of what you are getting. Even God sometimes deviates from the custom of the normal process. God is good. And Terry Posey gave me this verse Sunday morning. See Genesis 25:23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, two manner of people shall be separated from my bowels, and one people shall be stronger than the other peoples. The elder shall serve the younger. Well, of course, it was a tradition then, and I've raised some flack, I guess, in the minds of some of the people that the older person should be the one that's blessed and be the leader. But here you see God recognized that people are created different. He created us that way. He chooses his leaders. And of course, if he chooses the younger, he's God, he's going to do that. Ephesians 4:11 tells us that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. What it does not say is that some of us are not of any of these professionally. That every one, or that every one of us, whether we're professionals or not, may be called upon to be a teacher, pastor, or a mentor to somebody that is important and necessary to have you do that job. And you may be the only one that could do it. For some reason that God provides. So, Howard Hendricks in his book here says, the church is one generation away from total ignorance of the Gospels. And the church needs more people willing to get on their knees and ask the Lord, what do you want us to do to reach the community for Christ? Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Howard Hendricks suggests that we must be creative in the way we deal with what we're dealing with. He suggests, and I think you all would agree, God was creative in the way he brought Christ into the world. Who would have thought to bring a little baby in like that? Have him born, raised by a family. Instead of just bringing God down and God the Son down, letting him, do his thing. Christ was creative in everything that he did, just the way he handled the different people. He didn't do them all the same. He didn't treat them all the same. He treated the woman as well different than he did the man, because he was looking at what their needs were instead of what some song he was wanting to sing. He was looking at their needs. God wants each of us to be ourselves and ask him, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? To be creative. To be creative like God wants us to be. Now, I apologize for this. I've not done this story, but I'm going to go into the little wooden cross story because, you see, it is my story, but I don't want to be bragging about anything in this story at all, because you see, my intent was to be a woodcarver. I didn't intend to do anything particularly for God. Woodcarving was relaxing. It takes a lot of time, relaxing, but it was relaxing. And the people in the wood carving guilds and what have you were people that were friendly and share their ideas and share their tools and tell you how to do things. And they were just a perfect sort of an association, and I enjoyed it. And I just wanted to do it. I wanted to do it. I didn't intend to do anything particularly for God. I couldn't really at first think of anything I might do that would be for God that I would do with the wood carving. But I was active in the church, and the church committee asked me to participate in this committee that was sending missionaries to Russia. And I had carved with scrap wood. I'd carved some little wooden crosses. Some of you have seen them. I carved those little wooden crosses for my family, so everybody in my family. I didn't string them with gold. That cost money, and I was, even though everybody thought you're a wealthy lawyer, I was cheapskate lawyer, so I just put a ribbon in there instead of gold. Anyway, everybody in the family had one, and so Risa was in town with two missionary friends, and they were going overseas. And she said, it wasn't my idea, it was her idea. Why don't you give those missionaries some of your crosses? And I did. And then I went to the church committee that I was in, and the church committee was sending two of our members from Schofield Memorial Church at that time to Siberia. I had 10 crosses. And apparently there were 12 women that were meeting in Siberia for this Bible study. I had 10 crosses. Didn't have 12, but they asked me to give them to the missionaries. The missionaries took them over there. The last woman walked 50 miles barefooted in Siberia to the meeting, 50 miles barefooted to the meeting because she had the only Bible. When they left, they gave them the crosses. Only 10 women came. Just exactly the right amount of crosses. Then the church asked me to send some crosses to a missionary going down to Argentina, and I only had 4, gave 4 to him before he left town. Got down there, and they had a Bible study, a class of 4 or 5 kids. Well, the 4 girls wanted to take the Bible study course, and they did, but the boys wanted to play soccer, so they played soccer all week. The girls went to the Bible study class. At the end of the class, the 4 girls got a cross. Then the boys wanted the crosses, and they were begging for the crosses. Went to my high school class reunion, and I took a tract that I had, and I gave everyone in the high school reunion the cross. I have the tracts here, our tracts. Mike mentioned them the other day. But I gave everybody there a cross. And I know from giving them that cross something that I did not know before from those classmates. I know, you see, that Carl Bates was not a Christian. I didn't know that when we played football. I didn't know that Tarvey Thomas, the really great basketball player, was not a Christian. Because we just didn't talk about that stuff so much, playing basketball and playing football. But I now know because they rejected the cross. I know a person, you see, from that I could have talked to some more and would have probably even when I was in high school if I'd have known that. But I didn't know that. Went to California. Grandma Pudge. Judy's mom lived next door to a woman that had cancer, and she would go for a walk every morning. Pudge and that woman would call each other to make sure each other was better, and I would walk with that woman because she liked to go on the walks, and I would walk with her around the facilities there. And one day she was wearing this little wooden cross. I said, I like your wooden cross. She said to me, you know, I'm going to give it to you. I said, no. I just like the style, the way it's carved. It's a new way of carving it. She says, no, I'm going to give it to you. You see, I have cancer, and I have no family. And you like the cross, I'm just going to give it to you. She gave me her cross. And she died, and a month later, she died. And I still have that little cross because, you see, it's the design I ended up really carving. It was her design on the cross. Now, while we were walking around the park, we ran into the bread lady. Now, the bread lady, she was a visitor also, like me, on this facility there, Leisure World, they call it. If they were old folks, I'm not so sure there was so much leisure, but anyway, we walked the park, walked around. The bread lady, see, this is not me. This wasn't my idea. The bread lady, you see, saw this little loaf of bread as the bread of life. And she was taking it to people around the park. Well, she agreed to take the crosses and the bread. So she took, it wasn't my idea. What? I didn't encourage her to do it. She asked. She took. See, don't give me credit. Because it wasn't my ideas. It was everybody. Look at what God was doing to this. The bread lady. Oh my. Then you see, my sister, who's politically no, I won't say that, but she has a tough time believing what Ruth and I would believe as far as politics are concerned. But she called me up because, see, she got one of those crosses. And she wanted, it wasn't my idea, it's her. She wanted crosses to go with the tracts, you see, to every woman in a church meeting in Washington, D.C., that her church was putting on. 1,000 women, I guess. I carved as many as I could. I think it was around 449 or something that I actually sent her. I couldn't get to the maximum number, just wasn't possible to do it. It was her idea, but I did send her what I could put together. And then you see the high school classmates started calling me. I've got this church group out here in Los Angeles, California. Ray, could I buy some of those crosses for you? Well, you see, I was given a cross by a little lady that had cancer. She didn't charge for it. And I didn't charge nobody for those crosses. So then I ended up sending 100 to the woman in California so she could, it was a camping group. They went camping together. And all the people in the camp then got the cross because she delivered them. It wasn't my idea. Her idea that she do that. And then one of the twins from my class called up and wanted crosses because she was having people in, and her sister was not a believer. They weren't twins, pretty close in age, but her sister wasn't a believer, so she wanted crosses. I sent crosses to her. I think that was 34 or so crosses. And then the church, again, came to me for some crosses. And I made some for them. Well, then, you see, I retired and I moved to Mineola, Texas, and got here, and I shared a few of those crosses around here. And I think it was Pastor Craig suggested to us that we make some crosses, and then we ended up sending those to Argentina, the ones we made here. Wasn't my idea again. Wasn't my idea. You see, what's happening is that God's taken your talents and He's using your talents. If you're not watching what God's doing, God's going to use what you're doing. And if you're evil, He's going to use it too to help somebody too, just sure as shooting. He's going to use whatever your talents are, He's going to use it for His purposes. Well, you know, I hope nobody really takes me from suggesting that I'm bragging about this at all, because none of this up to tonight was probably not my idea. It wasn't something I chose to do. It was something God and somebody else was a-doing to me and getting me to cooperate because I liked the idea of carbon. It was relaxing. And when the trials were going on and I was having a tough time, it was relaxing to get up in the morning and run out to the shop and carve 3 or 4 crosses, carve a little boy's figure or something. 15 minutes every day before I'd head off to court. It relaxed me. It was relaxing. Get my cup of coffee and spend 15 minutes out there. It was relaxing. It was something I wanted to do. Wasn't necessarily wrong, wasn't necessarily right, wasn't something that God told me to do necessarily. It was just God was using it. God was taking advantage of what I was doing, and that's what He wanted. He expected me to be more active, I think, and more willing to do that. But what is it for you? Our church, our challenge. What is our challenge? Mike mentioned the tracts, and I have these tracts up here. I don't have the crosses anymore. My fingers won't. You can see here from my just trying to turn the pages, my fingers won't allow me to carve those little crosses anymore. I cut some out on the bandsaw, but I can't carve the edge like that lady next door to Grandma Putt. Can't carve them like that. A beautiful carving, the way it was done. But what is your challenge? Mike mentioned, Stanford, putting the tracks in the boxes in the grocery store. Now that's ingenious. That's an idea I haven't thought of. That is an idea that I haven't thought of. But I can tell you that Ruth and I have put these, every bill we pay, we put these in the bill. It doesn't cost any more. The postage is still the same when we send it. Put this in there. I can give them to the waitress at the restaurants. You used to give the waitress in the restaurants one of the crosses in these. And you see, all of these crosses that I was making all kind of started because in New Mexico in a snowstorm, we got caught in the pass, and the only motel had one room left when Judy and I and the girls got in there. We had to share the room because we were snowed in, and went across to the restaurant, went across there, and it just so happened my daughter's godfather was there and had space for us to sit down and eat with them at the table there, and we did, and we gave them crosses. And I went out and got the crosses, and the waitress came out and says, "Oh, what is that? I like jewelry." Well, it wasn't jewelry. I told you, I didn't put no gold on there. It was just a little wooden cross. But the whole restaurant heard her say that out loud. And they all knew, because they could see it was a cross, and they all knew that she didn't understand the meaning of the cross. Gives you an opportunity, you see, to tell her what the cross means. To give her the tract, she might read it, she might not, she was busy, because that place was full, stuffed to the gills, because everybody was snowed in. Roy Zook wrote a tract. What is the meaning of the cross? It's not jewelry. It was published in 6 languages. Not my idea, see. It came about just because God's going to take your talent. Took Roy Zook and Chris Nogueri together because Chris was promoting the tracts in foreign countries, and so Chris put that tract, what is the meaning of cross? What is the meaning of cross? It's not jewelry. That tract came from that whole scenario in the restaurant. All wasn't my idea. It was all, you see, God working in the people that was around me. So now the challenge, and the challenge to everybody here in our church is, what ingenious way are we going to share these tracts or a cross or the message? What ingenious, creative way are we going to do? Well, you see, has anybody taken this down to one of our motels and said, would you put this in the desk drawer in the rooms? Has anybody done that? Well, you know, just an idea. Has anybody gone to Kindness Cottage and said, well, do they have that free place there where they have the free magazines? Have we asked Kindness Cottage if we could put some there? Have we? Your ideas. The challenge for you is, what is your idea? What is your creative way of sharing the message? What is your creative way of caring for the people in this community and sharing? Oh yeah, other things are really important. What Pat does to deliver the meals and all that, that's good. That's good. Did Pat take one of these for him? Huh?
I can.
Yeah, sure. You're going back. I know you're going back to those people. You can take one to them. So your challenge is, what are you going to do? What creative way are you going to do? Not just the old way. What creative way can we approach it? There's more to this story, and I invite you to come back next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the wisdom and guidance that you give us, and thank you for giving me your words and leading me in ways that I really was not too ingenious about doing what other people encouraged us to do. What a blessing they were to me. What a blessing you are to lead and guide and encourage us, even though sometimes I just want to be bad. Sometimes I just don't want to do it your way. Sometimes we don't do what we should do. Sometimes, Father, even though we do that, you still love us. You still love us the same as you would and did if we did everything right. You love us just as much, and always, all times, regardless of whether we make mistakes or not, you still love us. You give us your grace. You give us your love. You give us your patience. You give us your wisdom, your guidance. We thank you for all that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.